Please join me in welcoming our speakers to the stage. Leading the interview this evening will be the lovely and talented Rashida Jones of Parks and Recreation and The Office. And of course, none of us would be here this evening if it weren't for the prince of pop culture, the man of moxie, and TV mogul. Please join me in welcoming Bravo's Andy Cohen.
San Francisco. This is exciting. I didn't think anyone was going to show up. I love you back. I love Rashida Jones, actually.
Thank you. I mean,
by the way, how lucky are we that Rashida Jones is here?
Thanks, guys.
Anyway, I'm not driving this bus, so you go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna drive this bus. Thank you for being here, everybody.
I'm gonna make us some tequila.
Yeah,
we're having tequila.
Pour me some tequila, please. That's the nice thing about Andy is you know you're gonna get a drink when you hang out with him, on TV or otherwise. Hi, I'm thrilled to be here. I'm Rashida Jones, and I am interviewing pop culture's fabulous superstar, and my close friend, Andy Cohen. Woo! As host of Bravo's Watch What Happens Next. I didn't write that. I know it's live. Look how great that is.
Yeah, you do know
beautiful
it's live.
Makeup.
That's Sister Roma, the queen
yes.
of San Francisco.
Gorgeous. Beautiful. Sorry. An executive producer of the Real Housewives franchise, Andy spends his days... Yeah. Give it up. We good? Okay. Andy spends his days up close and personal with America's biggest celebrities. Lucky for us, he has recorded a full year of his life in the limelight. Your life in the limelight. And around the limelight. In his new book, The Andy Cohen Diaries. Has everybody read it here? Yes. Okay. If you haven't, then you're going to right after this, right? Okay. Anyway, I'm very excited to be interviewing him this evening.
Hi, Rashida.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I love San Francisco so much. It's
me
like
too.
The Emerald City.
Great.
The Emerald City. I love it. And that we're in the famed Castro Theater.
Beautiful.
I think this is
history
amazing.
In these walls.
Yeah.
If these,
if these
walls
could talk.
Right?
I smell poppers.
Wait, you can smell poppers? Is that a sixth sense?
Yes. Anyway, I digress.
Anyway, I'm driving.
Sorry,
you
I'm sorry.
You can't digress.
Drive.
So this is a fun opportunity for me because the tables are turned.
Yes.
You've interviewed me many times.
You've been on my show several times.
I have.
Been on with Joan Rivers.
Yes.
You've been on with, I don't even remember who else.
Retta from Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah,
last
with Retta.
Time.
Yeah.
John Slattery from Mad Men.
Sexy Slat from
yeah.
Mad Men. Yep.
Yeah. And it's always a highlight for me to be on your show. A, because it's really fun and we drink and you have a good atmosphere, but also because I really have no idea what's going to happen.
Yes.
Which is awful and great.
It's great, right? Because you go on these shows and they pre-interview you and they're like, oh, Dave loves the story when you do this and this and this, and you go out there and you kind of dance like a monkey, but I make you dance like a monkey, but I don't tell you what I'm going to make you do.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun. Well, but I write in the book that the book is really, it's a year in my life, and it's inspired by the Andy Warhol Diaries, which is this great pop culture time capsule. And I write a lot about what I was really thinking when I'm sitting across from Lady Gaga or Mariah Carey or all these people. Mm-hmm. And you may be surprised to hear what's actually on my mind.
Right. Well, for those who haven't read the book, maybe tell them a little bit about maybe when Lady Gaga was there and what you were and were not allowed to talk about.
Oh, okay. You know, there's always this question. There's when you have someone in, and not so much with you, actually. I can't think of what it would be, but there's always a question that you're not allowed to ask when you're sitting across from someone. And with Lady Gaga, her people had said to us, they didn't really want to talk about Madonna. They didn't really want to go to this kind of dark place of a feud with Madonna. And there, I think there were one or two other things. And I was sitting there with her, and I asked her this kind of wanky plead the fifth. And I was like, without naming names, you know, name one person that you idolized, but, you know, something, beating around the bush. And we went to commercial break, and she turned to me, and she goes, you can say... name names, do whatever you want. So then I'm in this position where her publicist is in the back, and her publicist also represents Rihanna and all these other great people. And I love her publicist, by the way. But so I'm like, do I screw it up for myself, or right. do I go for it?
And the truth. Well, also, but also, you have like a deep loyalty to Madonna, which also
exactly.
Well,
that's
the whole thing.
That is true, and I have Madonna is my queen. I love Lady Gaga, but you know. And Madonna pops up in the book. It's so crazy. I had such a crazy year where I was kind of, I was in Lady Gaga's video. I wound up being in first class on a plane to LA with Madonna flying out for the Grammys. And there, so I intersect with Madonna a few times in the book. But what happened with Gaga after the show was she peed in the back in a trash can. And because she's
as
a superstar.
As one does when you're Lady
yeah,
Gaga.
Right. And, she came out, and I go, oh, you know, hey. And she goes, I peed in the trash can. I'm so sorry. And I go, oh, that's cool. And I turn to our PA, Ryan. I go, go get Gaga's pee. I go, put it in like a crazy container, and then we'll put it in the clubhouse because that is a piece of pop culture memorabilia. And so it's crazy. So then he did. And I love my PAs, and he did, and then he came back, and then a couple days later he goes, oh, I have bad news, Lady Gaga's pee is going to turn toxic. And I said, really, like, why Gaga, you know? And he goes, oh no, not because it's Gaga's, just because
science.
That happens, yeah. Science. And so he said, but I found a recipe online where you can turn pee into perfume, because that's my magical staff. And my magical staff.
So dark.
My magical
so
staff.
So dark.
And Andy and his magical staff. Is that the movie you're working on for Pixar?
Yeah.
Andy and his
Andy
magical
and his
staff.
Andy and his magical staff.
Yes. Anyway, so...
It's about your penis, actually.
Yes. He made perfume out of it. And it's in this really... If you look at behind my guest, there's this really bejeweled snifter... And it has Gaga's pee perfume. I sprayed it on.
How does it smell?
It smells like dressed up pee with a floral note.
So it's pee fume, really.
Yes. Pee-fume. I sprayed it on Johnny Knoxville when he was on because
perfect.
That, you know,
Perfect.
Seemed appropriate. Exactly. Have you ever dated Johnny Knoxville?
No. He's hot, though.
He is very hot.
He's hot.
Yes.
But that's
have you ever
too
dated
much...
Colin Farrell?
Why are you asking
I, oh, sorry.
My interview?
I can't help
God.
It. I'm such a producer. I apologize. Okay, next question.
Oh, God. Okay. No, I have a whole bunch of questions for you. Okay. I feel like we should get into housewife land.
Okay.
Because
they don't want to hear about it. No. Yes.
Nobody wants to
yeah,
know
right.
about that, right?
Okay.
Okay, so... You know, I originally were friends because I was a huge Real Housewives fan. I sort of attacked you. And
you did at that, yeah. at that TCA
NBC,
thing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
thing.
Yes.
And I kind of made you be friends with me.
I know. I loved
and
that.
And then you made me do imitations of Housewives on your show, which
yes.
was humiliating.
Yes.
But,
and then you made me have sex with... Oh.
Oh. No, that's a different what? Q&A.
Okay, sorry.
Anyway, my question is... So, I have a couple questions. My first question is... Do they always turn evil? Like, does it always happen? Is it inevitability that you kind of create these women and you create this life, and then they're like, I want my own show. I want more money. I want
well,
to be
you know,
regular.
Well,
I
it's interesting.
I want to pee fume.
I write in the book about my day-to-day relationships with the women because I am executive producer of All the Housewives, and I have a deep say in casting and firing. And when I started the book, we had just reshuffled the deck, as I like to say.
That's a euphemism.
I know. in Orange County in New Jersey, and I was getting all these calls. I was having to call housewives and be like, I'm sorry, but once you're in the family, you never leave, and I'm sure I'll be calling you again, and I love
you.
That's
a good line, actually.
Yes, I know. No, I know how to break up with a girl. In their defense, there is no guidebook for how to become famous. And these women, in their defense, go from being women who live in some town with implants and hair, and then they become super, super famous, and they're getting flamed out on social media for how they behaved one night at a party when they didn't really think about it, and it was probably their true self, how they behaved. And so I do have a lot of empathy for them because they're going along for this ride as, you know, and I am with them, and I'm in a way responsible for them and with them. And so
it happens so fast, too.
It does. No, it does. And so do they turn evil? Well, I think, you know, what's interesting is, look, you peel the layers of an onion and you get, you know, you start to really see what people are like. And the longer they're on the show, the more they reveal of themselves. Sometimes they reveal it all at the beginning, and sometimes they're kind of hiding it and trying to produce themselves. So it's everything.
But also, like, you know, people say that about celebrities too. Like, does being a celebrity make you, turn you into an asshole? And the truth is, like, if you're an asshole, you're an asshole.
Right.
And if you become famous, you're right. It's going to show your true self.
That's,
you know,
true. Yes.
But, okay, so that's one thing. So then there's the husbands.
The husbands, it's interesting. The husbands play an interesting role. In the book, I've got a couple situations where one laid-off housewife, her husband called near tears because they had really gone all in professionally on her kind of being a housewife. And that's a tough conversation, and I've had that before with husbands. And I say, look, you can't bank on a career in this. I mean, you were doing other things beforehand. And then there was a husband who called. I was at the dog run. I think this is, it's so funny. I know what I did every month from last September to September because I was writing this book and it's all there. I think it's in the spring, in April or so. And this husband calls trying to renegotiate his wife's contract. It was the craziest conversation and he had so many demands. And I'm throwing this ball to my dog. And I'm like, no. No, that's never going to happen. It was crazy.
Like, Waka, no. Husband,
say.
No.
I can't say who it was, Roma. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, I do name a lot of names in my book. I just want you to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, and I really felt like if I'm writing a top secret diary that I'm going to publish, I have to name names. And I talk about Britney, and I talk about all these people in the book where, because I was like, I have to deliver for you guys because I know you're going to call bullshit on me if I don't.
You brought us a dead bird.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yes.
Some would say, let's just get a little, let's zoom out a little bit.
I don't like this question already.
Some would say that the rise of the talent-free celebrity, the reality star, might be the end of modern civilization. May have said that.
Right.
I may have said that.
Yes, okay.
I'm just saying.
It might be.
It might be me. I might be the
person. I ain't going to fight
that. Right.
I ain't going to fight it. But I will say that, look, there's 1,000 channels. There's 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 celebrities. And it's as amazing to me as it is anyone that the news networks would be sitting there talking about Teresa Giudice or Giudice or however you want to say it, you know, for hours and hours. It amazes me because I'm concerned about the state of the world. And so I'm like, really?
You're
still talking about
anybody
Teresa?
Else.
I really am.
Right.
Now, that being said, I love these shows and I stand behind them with all of myself because I think they're entertaining. And I think I was a big fan of soap operas and I feel like it's replaced kind
it
of
is.
Soap
it's
operas.
A new soap opera.
And it is what it is. And so, you know, I say if you don't like it, you can turn the channel. I'm not gonna fall on my sword because Vicki Gunvalson is famous. It's like,
no,
you know what?
And I don't.
You don't ever have to know anything about her.
I
if you don't.
I'm not. Not. No, I'm not as an indictment.
Yes. No. I know.
But my question to you is, in your personal.
Getting on my soapbox. I'm starting to schwitz a little.
Sweating.
Okay. Yeah.
In your personal and your professional life, do you personally make distinctions when it comes to talent and no talent? Like, you have some very talented
100%.
Friends. I'm one of them.
Yes.
But you're, no, 100%. You know,
SJP, if I have Carol Burnett on my show, or if I have Mariah on my show, or, you know, J-Lo, or, you know, people who have bodies of work, I absolutely revere that. I am a pop culture celebrant.
Right.
And so, but I also, I'm a guy who reads The New Yorker and I read Us Magazine. So I like it all, and I think that that is reflected in my show. I love having Dan Rather on my show. He's one of my favorite guests. Mm-hmm. I had Dick Cavett on recently. Mm-hmm. I love that. That I dig that. So I was on a vape pen at Howard Stern's birthday party.
Wait, you smoke pot?
I know.
I was scandalized.
At his birthday, and I realized, oh, my God, you know, my show is closest to the Howard Stern show of any show in that he has his whack pack, which are all of his whack packers, and then he can have Julia Roberts or you or me or whatever on his show. Not me. You know, whoever on his show. And so I have the Housewives on two nights a week, and the other three, I mean, tonight I have Russell Brand and Brooke Shields, two very well thought of actors. And
balance.
Yes, balance. So it's all about balance. And I like high and low. And I think there's room for that everywhere.
There is. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Speaking of balance, so your book is incredibly fun. I feel like it's almost like a dream life. You know, like I think people will read it and be like, God damn it, that is such a fucking fun life. I can curse,
right? Fun,
it's
pretty
fun.
It's fun. Yeah, yeah.
And it's diverse.
Yes.
And there is balance.
Yeah.
You're very social, though. Which is great. I'm social,
super
too.
Social. Didn't move to New York to sleep.
No.
Yes.
No. Not the place to go if you're going to do that.
Right.
My question is, do you think, like, is there any version of your life where you move to, like, the woods with Waka for, like, I don't know, 6 months, a year, and just, like, reflect and drink tea? Waka's there. It's not like you're alone.
Ooh. Are there dudes around too?
We could bring in some talent.
No, I love. Listen, my fantasy is to move to an island and be a bartender at some beach bar, and just totally and get rid of Twitter and get rid. So I mean, that is my fantasy. So
right.
I'm a hippie ultimately. I love the Grateful Dead. I am. That's part of the reason I love San Francisco.
You're so straight in so many ways. I love it. Like your baseball and your Grateful Dead.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I'm going to show you how straight I am after this.
Woo! You've threatened that a couple times.
I know.
You have to make good on that.
So bad.
We've talked about having a baby. I think we'd have a pretty awesome baby.
Let me tell you something. If that's still on the table, we should discuss.
It is still. On the table.
Right.
Nothing's happening in there. Anyway, moving on. Talking about Twitter and social media and your relationship with that. So, you know, you're the only gay late night host. That's
yes.
it.
I'm the
you.
Only. That's true. I just realized
cool.
that. Yes.
What's your relationship like with the gay community? Do you get, I feel like you get some pretty like vitriolic feedback.
Oh, yeah, well, I've told you about this before, and I write about it in the book. It's funny. Sometimes you just can't ever look at the comments on a gay blog. It will just ruin you. It just really will. It's like, this is who I am on the comments of a gay blog. It's like, I am I'm a star fucking fame whore, a carb faced. It's everything. Carb face. It's everything.
So
and then it ends with bottom. They always throw in at the end. They're like, it's so funny. It's
just
like,
in case you don't feel bad enough about yourself.
Yeah, whatever. I'm like, oh, okay, fine.
Okay.
You know, oh my God. It's so funny. So I it's just the comments on the blogs. Everything else is good, but it's
Are you secretly like? Because I feel like you're pretty tough, and you dish it out. Like, are you secretly pretty sensitive?
Well, I think you asked that because there are I think two moments in the book where do you guys read the website Toll Road ever? Any of the gay guys? It's such a great website. It's the best kind of aggregator for gay news, and it's so great and. But the comments towards me, like, I can't ever read them because they're so bad. And I write, I think, twice in the book about that I went on them and I was like, oh my God. I think I texted Anderson Cooper and I was like, he's like, don't read the comments, you idiot. What are you thinking?
But have you learned your lesson? Do you still read?
No, sometimes I do, but mainly I don't. And mainly they don't affect me. You know what I mean? I'm pretty, from the moment I went on the air, I mean, the internet is for haters and porn. as we know.
It's true.
And so it's true. And so it's like, but I have to say, I've had such a positive experience, and I'm waiting for it to be ruined with. With the book, because I am so excited about this book, and I love it so much, and I've been carrying her on. My friend Lynn's here, and she has been listening to me yammering on and on for the last year about, I love this book, I think it's so fun and funny. And so, but I've been having a great time on Twitter where people were reading the book, and they're like, oh my God, I love it that you said that about Esther Roll, or that, or pooping, about pooping at work, or that about whatever.
Not pooping at work.
Yeah, no, I do not do that. But I've been having a great time on social media with the book because it's been a really positive experience.
Well, it's almost the opposite of the internet because you get to write this whole thing. You can really represent yourself in a way you can't do in 140 characters.
I love writing so much.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you're a great writer.
Thank you.
Really funny.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I appreciate it.
You're great. You guys are great. Okay, moving on. So, let's get into some stuff about just...
Find your question.
Finding my question. Not everybody's as good at you at interviewing, okay? All right. That's not a good question. Hold on. Okay, you're a pretty candid person. You're pretty forthcoming.
Yes.
What's the most trouble you've ever gotten into? You can cite an example from the book, or otherwise.
God, the most trouble?
Yeah, like the most trouble for like speaking your mind or...
God, is there something that I told you about that you're thinking of?
I'm subtly trying to get to some Barbara Walters stuff.
Oh, right. Well, you know, here's the thing. I am the butt of every joke in the book because I make such an ass of myself on the daily. And I really have so many issues with... Are you good at remembering people's faces, like when you see them? Like that you've met before?
Yeah, better than names.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm so bad. And when I went to the Vanity Fair Oscar party this year, you run into people who have been on your show that you've sat there with. And I'm like...
You have four shows a week?
Five shows a week. Well, because they're in magazines every... I mean, they're famous. That's how I would maybe know. But right. But I was at the Met Ball, and I was talking to this gentleman... And I said, what do you do? And he was this great British guy. And he goes, oh, I'm an actor. And I was like, oh, cool. And he was with this woman. I was like, so is she your girl? They're like, yeah, we're together, da, 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 da. A, it was Andrew Garfield. It was the weekend Spider-Man had opened. And I had watched him on Saturday Night Live the night before. Here's what's even worse about Emma Stone. I had co-hosted the Revlon Run Walk with Emma Stone 2 days before. And like posted a selfie with us.
I mean, two words, vape
so bad. Yeah, vape pen, right.
That's the problem with having pot everywhere now. It's like,
It's so bad. So there are so many moments like that in the book where I just say it, where I make an ass of myself. But I think it's funny, at least. So I'm like, oh, it's a funny story.
It's also like probably a little charming because it's not like Andrew Garfield's going to be like, do you know who I am?
Right.
You know what
little
I mean?
Being the opera. Like, unclear what Emma Stone thought about that.
Well, because you like hung out with her all day for charity.
Right. Not
no
amazing.
Less.
Not because she said to me, she goes, oh, did you wind up walking? And I was like, what?
To the Met Ball?
Say it again. She met in the Run Walk. I totally didn't get it. 2 days before.
Well, actually,
Emma Stone.
It's not quite as dramatic, but you do cite an instance in your book when you said to me in the Hamptons, I saw Waka, and I was like, he's so big. And you were like, yeah, he photographs way different on Instagram. And I was like, I in person, you fucker. I'm not a fan.
She's like, I've met your fucking dog. I'm not a fan. That was
so
funny.
He looks different on Instagram.
That is in the book. The last entry in the book is about a drunken night I had with you and Jimmy Fallon and his wife Nancy.
It's very
That's
fun.
So funny, right?
Very fun.
But the Barbara Walters thing, I was co-hosting The View, and I'm sitting there. And the backstory is that my mother, who's a huge character in the book and who's so funny.
She's so funny.
And she's so great in the book. The two kind of best characters in the book are my doorman, Surfin, because it's very Seinfeldian, the book. There's a lot of kind of Seinfeldian stuff. I'm making that
Did you make
thing.
That word up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. No, totally.
It's great.
And my doorman Surfin and my mom are the two best characters. But she had told me, oh, your father and I did not understand American Hustle, and either did any of our friends. And I was like, okay, fine, Mom, that's fine. And so then a week later, I'm co-hosting The View the day after the Golden Globes, and Barbara Walters says, I didn't understand American Hustle. And I said, oh, well, maybe it's a generational thing. And I turned to her as the words were coming out of my mouth. And I was like, that is exactly the thing that you do not say to Barbara Walters on live television. And I was like, oh, God. And Sherry looked at me like,
eh. It's going to be good.
So then, like, a minute later, we went to break. And the camera's swooping around and swooping around. And the audience is applauding. And they're saying, coming up, Queen Latifah. And as the camera is swooping around, you can see Barbara Walters screaming at me, saying, how dare you yell at, how dare you insult me on my own show? Oh, God. And I felt so bad. And I go, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And there's a shot of her giving me the hand. She's holding up her hand to me. And I'm going, ah, nah. So bad.
So bad.
Terrible.
On to lighter subjects. Let's talk about Waka.
Waka, my dog. Yes. Thank you.
So I remember when you were thinking about rescuing a dog, getting a dog. Yeah,
yeah.
We were talking about it.
And yeah.
Like, I was a little worried just because you're very busy, you know?
Yes.
And, like, who knows, you know, if you can fit a dog or a partner or whatever into that life.
Right. I'm also a little shady.
Was what?
I'm also a little shady.
You're a little shady. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know.
In a good
way. You live in the night. You film a show at night. Like, you have to be shady.
Right.
But what would you say, Waka, because I actually have seen a marked difference in you.
You have?
Yeah.
What's different?
I don't know. Like, I feel like when you soften when you talk about him.
Yeah.
You really
love him.
I love him
so much. I do.
He has his own Instagram page.
I love people ask me what my hobby is. I'm like, oh, at the real Waka on Instagram, that's my hobby. It's so bad.
So bad. What would you say, this is a big question, but what would you say he's taught you about love and life?
Oh, wow. I love, it's just, you know what, I was getting so sick of myself, and frankly, on this book tour, I'm so sick of myself. I want to, like, put a match on myself and try to burn me or rip my skin off. I want to mutilate myself. Anyway, I was like, look, if I'm not in love with a dude, let me take care of something and have something to take care of. And I love my relationship with him. I just think he is so cute. And I was on the book tour. I was gone for like a week doing a ton of press and going around and doing all this stuff. And he was at his dog walkers in Brooklyn. And he came back and he's been so sweet with me the last 3 days. And then this morning was a heartbreak as I walked around at 6 a.m. kind of packing for another 10 days. I just love him. I mean, anyone who has a dog, and this is my first dog in my life, so anyone who has an animal, I think, will relate to this love story between me and Waka, which plays out.
Book's about.
It kind of is what the book's about. I know. I adopted him. He was in a kill shelter in West Virginia, and I got him in mid-October, which was 6 weeks into the book, and everything changed once I got him. And of course, when I first met him, I went to meet him with my ex-boyfriend, who I'm very close with and works on my show and is a big part of my book as well. And we went to meet the dog, and I was like, oh, no, this dog's too much. He's shedding all over me. He's licking me. He's popping a boner all the time. There's one boner in my house. And so... So I was like, and I spent like an hour with him, and I turned to John and I said, I don't think it's going to happen. He goes, I know what you're doing. You are running from commitment right now.
Mm-hmm.
You are. And he said, you're going to take this dog. You're taking him home with you. And I go, I'll foster him for 2 weeks. And I got him home. And that night we got him home and we turned on the Cardinal game. They were in the playoffs. And I guess he was trying to make it work, and he went and he got his leash and he walked over to me with his leash because he had to pee. And I was like, oh my God, you're trying to make this work. And I took him out. I was like, I took him out. He peed. It was so great. And then I was like, I'm not giving him back. I'm not giving him back. He's mine.
So cute. So sweet. Very nice.
I am capable of love.
You are. You are. What other things in your life? Sorry, I'm getting heavy. I got to get Oprah
wow.
on
Wow. Oh, my God.
Come on.
Let's do it.
Let's do
get
it.
Oprah on my
what
ass.
What other things in your life give you meaning? I mean, obviously in the
oh,
book,
God.
You talk about, you know, you have a really great group of friends.
Yes.
Very supportive.
Yeah.
I mean, do you ever, like, is part of your friendship with Anderson or SJP or any of your
right.
friends, like, do you allow yourself to get really vulnerable with your friends?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I do. I mean, I do get vulnerable when I'm feeling vulnerable. I'm a fun seeker. I'm an optimist in general. I'm an enthusiast. So it's like I'm happy until anyone tells me that I should be different. So my resting mood is fairly happy and comfortable.
That's the only way you could work with all those housewives.
I know. It's true. Trust me. But even they push me to my limit.
I know.
Sometimes, and those moments are in the book. But God, do I? You know, I have a great, solid group of friends, and beyond the friends that you know about, if you read my first book, I mean, I have a lot of super old friends,
right,
and they recur
long.
In this book, mm-hmm. and they're all kind of long, long, long friends, and so
I think that
my friends
well
and my
you.
Family, or
yeah,
my friends are friends for a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about your career.
Okay.
The reason I was first kind of obsessed with you is because you kind of made up your job. Like, you have, like, such a weird, unique job that
right.
only you could do. I mean,
right.
you started off in development.
Yes.
And then you're really good at that.
Thank
and
you.
And you have a really good personality.
Thanks.
And so it only felt natural for you to be...
It's weird.
On
that
TV.
Whole on-camera thing. I mean, I spent 10 years at CBS News. I was at a small cable channel for 4 years, and I was at Bravo for... Like, eight
were you
or
a trio?
Nine years.
That's
trio,
what you're,
yeah.
I
was there for
does
3 years.
Remember Trio?
Do you guys remember
my
it? They
favorite.
Got it in San Francisco.
Favorite.
Oh, smattering.
All,
my aunt and uncle applauded.
People.
Thank you very much.
Woo!
That's hilarious.
I love the Trio, Jeff.
There's over 1,000 people. My aunt and uncle applauded. Okay. So, yes, it was very kind of organic how that whole on-air thing happened. And it was something that I had wanted to do at the beginning of my career. And... the idea, when I got hired to be head of programming at Bravo, if I had said to them, oh, I want to host your late night show and I want to like be the face of the channel or whatever,
right.
like they would be like, oh no, you're fired.
Right.
You know, you're not doing this.
Right.
And it's funny because when Trio was ending, I got a job offer from Bravo. And I also, but there was a job at Logo as the head of programming of Logo. And Logo was just starting out. The gay channel.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know.
Well, you know. You know.
You have and to be gay so, to watch it. I watch it.
Yeah, right.
Seen it.
And so I was like, oh my God, I'm perfect for this job. I have to get this job. So I went and I interviewed and I did not get the job. And A, I still to this day kind of can't believe I didn't get the job. With all due
you hear us, Logo.
To
you hear
Logo.
Us.
Okay, A. B, I am so grateful that I didn't get that job.
Yeah.
And it really is a let, because if I had gotten the job, I would not be, yeah, I mean, you know, so thank God, you know, thank God. I mean, really. So, but it's weird how life works that way. And so when I came on at Bravo, I didn't have any plans of being in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
My boss had me start writing a blog, and then I had this web show that followed Top Chef and Project Runway. And then I did a reunion show after Housewives was popping, and then that's how that all started.
What was the first reunion show that you did?
Real Housewives of Orange County season 2.
I think I remember that.
At a fro,
that.
Like
I
a Jufro a little bit.
I was like,
bit.
Who the fuck is this person?
I know,
it's amazing.
This douchebag, I know.
But I didn't realize you were like kind of their boss, which complicates the whole thing.
I know. It's so, I mean, the relationship is so fucked up, frankly. If you really... You know, the subtext of what's going on at those reunions, because not only do I pretty much know what happened, and I'm saying, and they know I know,
and they're lying to you about it sometimes,
and then sometimes they're kind of fighting for their job a little bit as they're sitting there. There's a thing every reunion there's, I'll say three reunion stories that happened. One is seating is so important, and the ladies like to be next to me at the reunions. So there's a moment where I'm doing the Miami reunion, and Adriana came in and saw she wasn't sitting next to me, and she said, if I'm not sitting next to him, fire me right now. Clearly I'm off the show. So she had a fit. And then at the last Beverly Hills...
All the Stormoffs are real then?
Oh.
They're all real.
100%.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so at the, I don't know, I hope you guys saw Beverly Hills premiered last night, and it's so good. Isn't it back? Didn't you feel good about it? I mean, I feel like we did a Bobby Ewing, and like last season, never happened. It's back. It's a lot of lifestyle. It's diamonds and rosé. It's all, everything's good in Beverly Hills. Lisa Rinna fits right in. It's all good.
That's right. Lisa Rinna.
Everything's
is
good.
On,
Lisa
right?
Rinna, it's all good. So, but at the last Beverly Hills reunion, it was so funny because I was sitting there and I had a feeling that Joyce wasn't coming back, and she was sitting there talking, and my mind started wandering to what if we did like a Survivor thing at reunion shows where I literally at the end was like, you are no longer a housewife. Please
give
leave
us
the
staff.
Reunion. You know, you're out.
By the way, that's a million-dollar idea. Oh, why are you doing the Survivor Housewives?
1,000%. Oh, no.
All-star Survivor Housewives.
We will when the show... Here's the deal. I believe that the Housewives... Beverly Hills, to me, is back. We have Bethany back in New York, okay? We have...
Great.
And the story of how I got Bethany back is in the book. And so I feel very bullish that... Atlanta is bigger than ever. Orange County, we took a really good long break. We're going to start shooting again in January. So I feel really good about the longevity of this show. That being said, when we start to skid a little bit, we will put 10 of them on an island and just see what happens.
Easy.
We will do it. But I don't want to do it until...
Yeah. Until they live
you
out
understand.
Their full life.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
We're
yes.
gonna take questions
Not
in 5
time.
Minutes, just to prepare.
Right. We're gonna take
because
I want to hear what y'alls have to say.
Are you sick of me too?
What? No, okay. No. But I like to interact
we're
with
gonna,
the people.
No.
Yes.
Well, I'm not a person.
No.
Other people. I love you. Sorry. Do you want more tequila?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm almost. I'm getting. I'm catching a buzz actually.
Woo! Buzz. Okay,
I'm staying and signing all of your books, by the way, so.
There you go.
Watch the line on this bottle.
What is your favorite, I know that's really crazy to say, but what's your favorite story in the book? Like, what's your favorite story or day or moment? Or
you know what story I love? There's a story, and I was really scared to do it, but I got invited to play at this MLB All-Star Celebrity Softball game this summer, and I'm a big Cardinals baseball fan, and I also am just, like, so hot for baseball players. Like, I want a baseball player. But so I got invited to play, and Jon Hamm was on the show, and he goes, I play every year. You should do it. It's amazing. It's not scary. And I was so scared because I go and I do it in Minneapolis, and I'm not sure I would have done it if I wasn't writing this book, but I was like, this is one of those real kind of moments where you test yourself.
Right.
And because I had not hit a ball since Little League when I lost the game for us and I
That's
didn't
so
hit a ball.
You love
and
baseball so much.
I love, as a fan, and I got there and, you know, my sister called me when I landed in Minneapolis, my sister M, and she goes, wait, you're playing in the game? And I was like, yes. I was so terrified, but I got to wear the whole outfit.
The outfit.
Which was amazing.
The outfit.
And,
but
I'm in this locker room. I know.
Uniform.
And I'm in the locker. Yeah, uniform. And I'm in the locker room, and I'm literally, it's like Mike Piazza, me, Ozzie Smith, and there's everything in there. And so there are a lot of elements in this story of what happened that day, because I also turned into this gay dude in the locker room, and I was like, there's Under Armour underwear here. Like, do we have to change in front of everybody? Like, I got really freaked out. You know, and I turned
like
to Ozzie Smith.
Flashback?
Yeah, and I was like, not that I have any problem changing in front of anybody, but I just was freaked out. And I turned to Ozzie Smith, my childhood baseball idol, great St. Louis Cardinals shortstop, the Wizard of Oz. And I go, do we have to wear the underwear? Like, and he was like, it's whatever makes you comfortable. And I was like, okay.
So
I'm
going to
keep mine on like it is. And I'm like, do we tuck the pants into the socks? He was like, no, we don't do that anymore.
That's,
I'm like,
so
okay.
Nice to hear from your hero.
It was unbelievable. And ladies and gentlemen, Andy Cohen went 2 for 2 that day.
Yes!
So it was a victory. It was so amazing. Big, so that's weirdly, that's one of my favorite things
you.
In the book.
That's
yeah.
big for you.
Yeah.
I sort of want to just run my imitation of you by you.
Yes.
And see if you, there's like three modes. There's
okay.
three Andy
three modes.
Yeah, there's three okay. modes. There's when you're really psyched about something. Yeah. Right?
Yes.
And then there's when you're not impressed with the answer. Okay. And then, wait, what's the third one?
Sometimes I say, right, right, right.
Right, 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 right. And then there's just like, I love my team. There's that one too. That's all I have so far.
Give it up for Rashida Jones. That was very good.
I'm still working on it. I'm still working on it.
That was good.
I'm still working on it. Is there anything that I have not covered that you want to cover before we get to audience questions?
Not whatsoever. You're brilliant.
Thanks.
No.
Thanks.
I love it.
All right, we're going to get to questions then. Let's do it. Okay, wait. Oh, I have information about that. Hold on.
Are we going
to
turn up the lights and hear from the audience?
A staff member will pull you to the mic when it's your turn.
Okay.
You have a question.
So there's two lines.
Line
there's
up
a line
in the far
there.
Aisle,
there's a line over there.
To your right. To your right. Way against the wall. Over there. Right.
Oh, there's
here.
A line over there.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, and there's people waiting
oh,
already.
There's
yeah.
a line already. Okay.
Oh, it's happening. Everything's in
ignore
motion.
Ignore me. Just ignore me in general. And here we go. Oh, hi. Okay, we're good. Hi there. Hi. This is our first question. Please ask your question. Oh.
Oh, the mic's not on.
Now?
Hi.
No. No?
Yeah, it was on.
No? Was it on?
Yeah. Hi.
One more time? One more time. Try. Oh.
No, it's not on.
Okay. One
hold
second.
On.
Hold music. What's a hold music?
Andy Cohen's got the 411. That's our hold music at Watch What Happens Live. If you ever call in, that's the hold music. I can't. I'm so excited that I have a theme song. Like,
it's pretty
I can't
cool,
believe
by
I have
the
a
way.
Theme song.
Pretty
yes.
cool.
There you
okay,
go.
Here we go.
Hi.
Hi.
You sort of touched base on the reunion shows, but I wanted to have it encompass all of the other shows, including the Shaws and
yes.
the Selling shows. You do a great job at mediating when people start bickering, but can you tell us about a time when you really felt that someone deserved to be bitch slapped? And
well, I don't condone violence, as I've said. a lot of times there's one person there, and I won't name names because I'm their person, you know what I mean? But a lot of times there is some one person there who is the person who is just a river of words, who yammers on, who I literally am looking at, and I'm like, okay, great, move on. Like, I will just have a private little thing.
I feel like I can tell when
yeah.
you're not into somebody
yes.
and you like want somebody to show
sometimes,
up.
Sometimes, yes. Thank you.
Thank
hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you, Andy? Oh my gosh, I love you so much. And look at me, I'm like a 40-something lady, you know, I'm not one of these youngins. And my daughter, who's 16, just is beside herself that she cannot be here tonight. But anyway, I digress. So can you give a little insight on the Giudice versus Giudice? It feels like I was watching one day and it just changed.
All I know is there were two seasons of Giudice and then suddenly it was Giudice. And now I literally am like, Teresa Giudice, Teresa Giudice. I mean, like, and when this whole Michigas happened, I would get emails. Like, I got an email from Willie Geist one day. He's about to go on the Today Show. Just tell me the pronouncer. I'm like, it's Giudice. You know, Billy Bush email. They're like, how do I say? And then I'm like, it's just Giudice. You know, I don't know.
It's Giudice.
I don't know.
It is. Thank you. I love you.
You didn't really clarify that.
I know. Well, it's everything. Hi.
Hi. Two questions.
Thank you for buying my book, first of all. I love you. I hope
yes,
you enjoy it.
I started reading it back. Very nice.
Did you like it?
I did. Very nice. Two questions. Sorry.
That was for me.
Hi, I'm Mario. Two questions. One is, when you come up with the cities, it's kind of like Orange County, you kind of got it. New Jersey, Atlanta didn't really hit in terms of why you would go there. Beverly Hills, you got the people that you wanted to get. Was there a city that you wanted to do Real Housewives in that didn't really come to fruition?
We've cast in Houston, Dallas, which seem obvious. Mm. We didn't cast Housewives in San Francisco, but we did cast a show in San Francisco that were a group of women. We may have backed into it being Housewives. I don't know, but we didn't have the right casting. But I did come here and host this Wherever I Met You, Roma, a few years ago, some big AIDS benefit, and there were a lot of rich, crazy ladies there, and I was like, oh, maybe we should rethink.
And then I had one more question, just because it's a little pertinent.
Yeah.
When you did the reunion for the New Jersey Housewives, you seemed very, you know, compassionate towards Teresa and her situation, and then with the Atlanta Housewives, with Apollo in that situation, it's a little bit more dramatic. Do you show a little bit more allegiance towards the housewives, being that they are on the show and that you do work directly with them? And it seems like with the husbands, it's a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, really, the show is about the women. Mm-hmm. And the thing with Teresa was, my emotions got me that day because I was sitting there and I realized, okay, she's going up the river, and this may be the last time I see her in a really long time, and her last time in the show. And she's sitting there in her gold dress, and I was like, I'm a very nostalgic guy, and I'm very sentimental, and I just felt like, oh, this is sad, you know?
It's very sad.
Yeah.
I'll get you a drink at the 440 afterwards if you want.
Thanks. What did he say?
I think there were some numbers, some digits dropped.
All right. Hi.
Hello. I wanted to ask you a question from the psychological community.
Okay, good. I like that.
Rashida was getting pretty deep. And I know different reality TV shows like Survivor use personality tests to make sure they have characters on their show. Or I wanted to ask if you ever used psychologists or anyone during a crisis or to screen or what their role was.
We have brought psychologists in to the show on a few occasions when people have been really in crisis that we have been worried about. We have offered psychologists to people and said, do you want this? No, I mean, really, do you want this? Yes. Oh, absolutely. But the thing about it is, with the difference between Survivor and, say, the Housewives, is the Housewives were following people's lives. Survivor, you are putting people together on an island. So, like Top Chef is a show where we're putting, they're chefs, but we're putting them together in a house and they're living together. So we have to do background checks and psych tests because we're responsible for them all living in a house. With the Housewives, we're just following them around, but we make it available.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Rashida.
Hi.
Hi,
how
Andy.
Are you?
Hi.
Hi, I adore you. Would you ever consider moving to San Francisco?
You know what? I love San Francisco.
We would love to have you here, Andy.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I am shocked that you guys all filled every seat. So I really am totally humbled by that. And I love San Francisco. I think it's like the Emerald City to me. And it's just a magical place. And I was a big fan of the Tales of the City books. And I love San Francisco so much. So I would love to come spend some time here. Maybe I'll do a residency here sometime. I mean, by the way, I should mention Rashida is kind of doing just that. She's writing with her writing partner Toy Story 4 for Pixar. So you may see her around town. That's a big deal. And by the way, she's going to be so rich from that movie if she isn't already. Thank you. Nice
Thank
to meet you.
Thank you for coming to San
and
Francisco.
And then I'll be on your San Francisco Housewives show.
Yes. Absolutely. Ooh, a bear. Hi. Hello.
Oh, wait. I heard a new term. Are you a lumbersexual?
I just read about that. And I kind of think that sexuality is, you know, it's all
fluid.
Homogenizing fluid. As we progress as people, you know, it's
totally
whatever floats your boat. I also want to say congratulations on Toy Story 4, and I really hope you bring a female perspective to the toys, because I think Pixar has been lacking that in some of their films.
I am a female.
I know, and you're a wonderful writer, so, I look forward to it. But Andy, questions for you.
Yes.
Of course. With bringing back like Bethany and all the new girl or the old new girls on Beverly Hills, what are the chances of bringing back like a DC Housewives and also Miami? Because I know the.
Whoa.
I think DC, I feel like I love DC. I loved DC and I was really, I wanted to bring it back and I lost that battle. But I think the Salahis sunk DC. Yeah. And
maybe
I feel
the
like
entire
the ship
state.
Has sailed. Yeah,
maybe
exactly.
Not even
can we just have like a Catherine?
And Bravo along with it almost. And in terms of Miami, you never know. You never know. It could come back. I'm going to Miami this weekend to do a signing and all the gals are going to be at my, there's some party that is from the book and they're going to be there. And so I may just be like, oh my God, they're so amazing. I love, the Miami Housewives aren't afraid of two things I love, a jumpsuit and a camel toe. Thank you. Yes.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm peeing my pants right now.
Don't pee your pants. Oh my God, you literally are.
I am.
Do you have to pee?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay,
well,
let's
do
it quick so you can go pee.
This.
Yeah, yeah.
Right after.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask you, I know you've done Watch What Happens Live in Houston. Why weren't you doing
Austin.
In Austin, I'm sorry. Is it possible to do it in San Francisco for like a week?
I would love to.
Please.
I would love to. I would like to do anything here.
We'd all be here.
No, I would love to. Well, what if I do it at the Stro? What if I do it at the Castro Theater? How amazing is that?
Yeah, sure. I'll come.
That'd be great.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Fire sheet. I'll see you later.
Hi,
go pee.
Go pee. Have a nice pee.
You're freaking
out. Don't make any pee fume while you're out there.
Hi.
Ann Perkins. Hi.
Are you going to leave? Are you leaving right now?
No, I'm. I got
she has
stuck
her
up there,
stuff.
So
okay, yeah, you're just
okay.
Ready
it's a
to
situation.
Go.
Anyways, I've always wondered what was going through your mind when Teresa kind of manhandled you during that. What?
The truth is, I barely remembered. I remember that after the reunion, that was in Atlantic City, I drove straight into the city, and I was so exhausted and freaked out, and I went over to Mark Consuelos and Kelly Ripa's house. The book could be called Diary of a Name Dropper, by the way. Because I'm owning it. I totally own it. And because also I felt like I have to drop names. I'm writing it for y'alls. And so, but I did go over to their house to have drinks. And Kelly's a notoriously huge Jersey fan. And I went there and I go, I think I got pushed. I don't know. I thought, but I didn't know the force
melee.
Of it. It was
melee.
Just, I just was so out of, so much happened at that reunion. And then I saw the clip and I was like, holy shit.
It I couldn't horrible. Believe it. I was just always wondering because it looked so
intense.
Yeah,
it was
it
intense.
Really did. It really
I don't
did.
Know what was going through my mind is the answer. Nothing. I was freaking out. I usually, by the way, what's going on in my mind at the reunion shows is that I'm an EP of the show and I'm thinking, are we getting everything we need? Am I being tough enough on her? Do I need to draw her out? She's clammed up. You know, so usually I'm thinking about the mechanics of what's going on. Do we have enough for two parts? Do we have enough for three parts?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
She's out. And she's gone. She's out.
The umbrella.
She's leaving.
Hi, you guys.
Hi.
I am, I was thinking, why is it, you're my guiltiest pleasure.
Nothing
and
to feel guilty
I
about, sweetie.
Really...
No
I
guilt.
I really look forward to seeing
sugar
you.
Sugar free.
And I was kind of analyzing myself, and I was like, what is it about the housewives? Because sometimes I'm like, I'm kind of, I hate to say embarrassed, but, you know, it's like, wow, I really want to see them. I really want to see what's going on. And what I know is that it is you, and you're being so genuine, and the person that you are, I think, really draws a lot of us to watch your shows. And you are really, I mean that for you.
Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't mean that. And lastly, just a question, since you're a history of TV, did you ever watch The American Family with Lance Loud and see
of
that
Of course
very
I
first?
Did. Yes, the very first reality show ever. And I remember when they reran it once over New Year's Eve. I was working at CBS News, and it was like 1990, and PBS reran the whole thing. And I hadn't seen the whole thing. I had heard about it, and I saw clips. And that was when I saw the whole thing. For years, I had it on VHS tapes.
In my, remember those?
By the way, where are all the VHS tapes?
Oh, Like
where did
the
they
world?
Go? Yeah, where are they? On a barge somewhere?
Probably the dump.
Yeah,
dump.
Right. Yeah, we're all breathing them and eating them. So, anyway,
okay,
thank
yeah,
you.
Thank you.
But I digress. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Sparkly Top.
Hi, thanks. So most of my sexual fantasies also involve baseball players. So I was going to ask if you would do a Shag, Marry, Kill San Francisco Giants themed.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
I have to say, I do think inside and out, yeah. Hunter Pence is so hot. Like
super hot, yeah.
And I love his crazy swing and his stance and his energy. And
no, it's hot.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was thinking Madison Bumgarner.
Yes.
Tim Lincecum or Buster Posey.
Hunter Pence.
So Shag, Marry, Kill.
Hunter's not in it?
No, I wasn't going to put Hunter in it.
Well, I just said my...
it's just yours.
Madison, I'm going to shag because I think it would be too high maintenance to be married to.
Okay.
Who else?
Buster Posey or Tim Lincecum.
I'm gonna marry Buster and kill the other one.
Thank you.
I love a baseball
such a
play.
Brutal, but brutal
I know, no, it's a brutal game, but can I say that I talked on Howard Stern last week about sitting behind home plate at a Mets-Cardinals game, and I was talking about that I was just staring at this catcher's ass, Anthony Recker, and he DM'd me on Twitter when I was flying out here today, and he was like, I heard what you said about me on Stern. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm not a creeper. He's like, no, no, it's cool. Do you know a good dog walker in the West Village? I'm like, yeah, yeah. This is bro talk right now. Yes.
Hi, Andy. Here's what three things I'm obsessed with tonight.
Okay.
One,
three things she's obsessed with tonight.
Oh,
number
my.
One.
One is that I know if you were living, or if we were living on the same coast, we'd be besties.
Oh, we are sure. Besties.
Right, I know.
We are.
I know. Second is I truly stand behind the fact that the clubhouse is the next best thing since the playhouse.
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Of course.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And related to that, have you ever tried to get Paul Rubens on?
You know, Paul, yeah, we've talked about it. He only comes on in character. I think I was worried at the time, whatever it was that he wanted to do.
That's
excuse
it.
Me, awkward. Thank you. It was, for whatever reason, it wasn't right or it was too awkward or weird or whatever. But I am obsessed with him and I think he's incredible.
Me too. Yeah.
Thank Mazel. You. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Some more questions, please.
Hi.
Hi. I love you guys both. My name's Rashinda as well.
Is it?
No, not really. Oh. But...
I'm so excited.
A lot of liars in San Francisco.
I have a question for each of you, and quickly so the other people can ask questions. Rashinda, I am a huge Toy Story fan. See my Mr. Lotso phone case. And... if you want to give me a tour, I would love it. Let's get together and talk, okay? And Andy,
thank you.
And Andy, a question that you ask a lot of your guests sometimes. Have you ever had sex with any guest that's been on Watch What Happens Live or a bartender who's been on Watch What Happens Live?
Major live call out.
Okay, let me think.
Or a bartender.
I've done 800 shows or like 1,000 shows.
So your odds are better.
I know. Who have I had sex with of our guests? I've had sex with Lance Bass. That's an old story. Oh, yeah. Notoriously. We had a boat manse. I made out with another guest who's a dude. And then maybe a bartender or two.
Yeah, bartenders are cute. Got a lot of cute bartenders.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
You got applause for that. Good.
Hi.
Hello. She kind of took my question, so I'm going to ask you another classic clubhouse question. What does Jimbalino smell like?
What does Jimbalino smell like? Dracar Noir.
Yeah, I was going to ask if there was a celebrity that you had slept with that we didn't know about, but you already did.
I don't think
that.
So, because I've been on so many talk shows where they're like, name a celebrity. And frankly, it's so good that I have a go-to that I'm like, Lance Bass, so it's good.
What about a celebrity crush? I'm gonna...
Oh my God, thousands. Who is it?
Give me two.
Give you two?
Yeah, like right now. Not a baseball player, right now.
John Hamm. Or who else? Nick Jonas. Oh my God.
Cutie.
No, in a creepy way. I hate to. I mean, like.
Watch
keep
out.
Me away from him.
Has he been on your show?
Yeah, several times, and it's weird.
And I also want to say my little sister looks just like Rashida Jones.
Oh, wow.
Here.
Oh.
So when we're doing the book signing, I want to bring her by.
Thank you. Nice to meet you. Thank you. Last question.
This is the last question.
Yeah, make it a good one.
And I will say, there are books available for sale in the lobby,
oh, yes.
And I'm going to stay and sign all your books.
Yeah.
So, FYI.
Hi, my name is Mackenzie Casagrande.
Hi, Mackenzie.
Mackenzie Casagrande?
Yes.
Great name.
Yes, thank you. All my friends are up there. We all bought your book.
Thank
and
you.
And my question tonight is, those are my peeps. I read online today that you guys at Bravo are trying to follow Teresa in her last moments before she goes to jail.
Yeah, it's not true.
Hair extensions out?
It's not true. Yeah.
Okay.
Can I just take a selfie with you with the audience behind us? Will you guys turn up the lights? Will you just do that for me because I want to post it? Okay. No, but can they turn the house lights up? No, the house lights, like it was when we came in. So it was pitch black when everyone came in? What? No, I understand. So can they turn the house lights up? Like, oh, well, then we can't do it. Oh, okay. No, we can't because it's pitch black.
I will Photoshop yeah. it.
It's not down there?
Right
oh, okay. All right. Well, let's go down here then. Thanks, you guys, so much. I really appreciate it. I'll meet you guys afterwards. Oh, you have another question for me? Oh, okay. Hold on.
Sorry,
she's not done.
Before we do that, it's an informed tradition to ask all the speakers this question.
Okay.
Andy, what is your 60-second idea to change the world?
Oh, my God.
No pressure.
Legalize pot, deal with the environment, come together. You know, everybody on Capitol Hill should go on a fucking island and learn how to deal with each other. Get China to, no bullshit, deal with their waste. And what else? Make
enough,
love,
enough
not war.
Gay marriage, not
gay marriage. Yeah, again. Love everybody. And...
That's good.
Yeah, and that's good.
Rescue dogs.
And rescue dogs. That's my pitch. We're going to come down here.